Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Hey, everybody. We are about to get started with this week's show, which is all about 15 minutes of fame. But first, TrueCar is a company that is making it possible for me to bring you this show for free each week and gives us some useful car tips that you might not be aware of. For example, did you know a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can help clean your interior? Or that removing excess weight from your car will improve your gas mileage? And that you could place your key fob to your chin to increase its range? Well, here's another tip you also might not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That is correct. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you will enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and also a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also way more likely to enjoy a faster car buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. So when you are ready to buy a new or a used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
The theme is 15 minutes of fame.
Oh, man.
Okay. I guess my minutes of fame was I just quit my job.
I rose very high in the company, and that was probably like 15 minutes of fame.
Maybe like last summer I was on the news.
Maybe when I got my CPA award.
How long ago was this experience?
This was last week.
We all get our 15 minutes of fame. Or so the saying goes. And one thing I didn't realize about that old saying is that the coining of that phrase is most often credited to Andy Warhol, who exactly 50 years ago, this is in 1968, said, and I'm quoting here, "In the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes." So it's kind of crazy that with like the viral internet, that statement is kind of proving to be prophetic. And little known fact about your host, I hit my 15 minutes of fame kind of early, in seventh grade. That is when my brother and I, this is a true story. We won second place on the TV show, America's Funniest People. You guys remember that show? It was like that really weak spinoff of America's Funniest Home Videos. So stay tuned for details on how we landed ourselves on that program a little bit later in the podcast. But this week, this whole notion of fame has been on my mind because, as you may or may not have heard, Backseat Rider, this little podcast that my editor Bob and I have been doing as a labor of love now for about a year and a half, is, and could I get a drum roll for this announcement, Bob? All right. That's good. Thank you very much, sir. Backseat Rider, this little podcast that my editor Bob and I have been doing as a labor of love for about a year and a half, is about to become a regular TV segment on Fox 32 here in Chicago. That's right, everybody. We are expanding to video. So people will be able to see some of the Backseat Riders who you hear every week on this podcast. But rest assured, this podcast in its current form is not going anywhere. I'm going to be doing the TV stuff in addition to my current podcasting duties. So no worries. The show's not going anywhere. Backseat Rider stays. Over the months, FYI, I have been doing some experimenting with cameras in the car, and it is, as you could probably imagine, a bit more difficult to get the same level of candor that we're used to hearing on the podcast. Cameras, they do change the atmosphere in the car. They do make people slightly more uncomfortable, although they're really small GoPro cameras. But yeah, no plans at all to stop doing just audio. Okay, back to the subject of this show, though, fame and celebrity. I've tried to be pretty upfront with you guys over the months about my own complicated relationship with those things. I've gone into pretty good detail about this topic in a number of past episodes, including the recent one on birth order. Bottom line, though, I admit that I have somewhat of a compulsion to engage in attention-seeking behavior, like going into broadcasting and having a podcast that is public and, you know, having a fan page on Facebook and all those things. Now, at the same time, I very much believe in the mission of what I'm doing here on Backseat Rider as a journalist overall. So in my mind, that's how I justify that that other more superficial stuff. But this week, in honor of this fortunate turn of events with Fox 32, I thought that I would talk to this week's passengers about their own brushes with celebrity.
Well, I am 28, and right now I am a server, but I am also an artist and a pastry chef.
We're on the way to the restaurant where she works in Lincoln Square, and the closest thing that this passenger could recall happened last summer in Wrigleyville, which is the neighborhood on Chicago's north side, famous for the Cubs and historic Wrigley Field.
Maybe, like, last summer I was on the news, like, because I was in, like, the Wrigleyville area during, like, the Pride season, and they were, like, doing some recordings, so I, like, was on a short then, but I didn't even watch it, so I don't know if, like, you could consider it, like, 15 minutes of fame.
It was temporary and local to Chicago, but I'd say that counts, right?
I think one of my friends told me that they had seen some, like they had seen it.
Especially because of all the backseat riders I interviewed this week, she was actually the only one who brought up a TV appearance. All right, so after I dropped her off, the Lyft app paired me with another young woman in Andersonville, just a few blocks northeast of where I was.
I'm a substitute teacher. I work at a restaurant. You know, I'm just hustling and...
Hustling to become a professional actress, or perhaps a playwright one day. She's 22 years old and recently graduated from a theater program at a local college.
I walked into theater school, into like conservatory training, and the first thing they said was like, if there's anything else you can do, do that, because this is going to be hard.
Hard, partly because you're not considered successful unless you do achieve a certain level of recognition, something that is pretty much beyond your control.
Of all the careers, like, you're choosing a very vulnerable one where you're, you know, kind of placing a lot in the hands of other people. Does that make sense?
Right, definitely, definitely. I guess, it's, you know, as a kid, I feel like, of course, there's that, like, idea of fame. I think, like, anyone who's gotten into the performing arts of some kind, like, there is that element that, like, especially when you're young, you're like, I want to be dressed up on the red carpet or whatever, you mm-hmm. know? And then, you know, you keep doing it and you're like, huh, like, maybe it's not all about that. I wouldn't, like, be pursuing this professionally if I was just, like, trying to make a ton of money, especially because you're probably not going to make a ton of money, mm-hmm. as I, case in point. but I guess, like... For me, it has always been, like, this quest for understanding and empathy. And as far as acting goes, as writing goes, I'm sure in your own journalism career has gone, like, by playing other people, writing other people, constantly researching or trying to understand concepts or things that might not be that close to me, I'm always learning about the world. I'm a constant student of the world. And
till recently, she says she considered herself an actress first and writer second. But then...
My 15 minutes was recently I had a short play produced as part of like a short play festival with the Arc Theater. And I, you know, it was my first thing. It was for like a... I had to write toward a theme. It was social media. So I wrote a play about moms on Facebook and moms in like a mom group on Facebook. And it was kind of like based on my own parents' experience with a young girl in the town where I grew up who was walking around in like the dead of winter without hats and gloves and like wasn't in school and all this stuff. So they would always talk to me about it, and I was like, I wonder what would happen if I wrote a play about moms talking about that on Facebook. And so I did, and it was, you know, you go and you have your play read by actors, and you're in rehearsals, and you're just like, this sounds terrible. Like, this is horrible. I wrote trash. Why would anybody want to see this produced?
But it was produced, and kind of on a whim, entered into a competition of sorts.
There was also like a whole competition aspect to it where like the audience voted for the best play. There were 15 plays. And I found out I was like a very close second.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Which like, you know, I
that's
was...
That's still amazing.
I was like, I didn't even, you know, they asked like, hey, like there's a competition element. Do you want to be considered? I was like, sure, why not? Mm-hmm. But to like be told, hey, like there were 15 plays and yours was a close second. That was like really heartening and, you know,
that kind of validation from strangers in the audience made this woman for the first time feel like a celebrity.
Like it was a 10-minute play, you know, 10, 15 minutes. I like was on top of the world because I felt like people wanted to hear my voice. And in like with writing, I feel like you control the story and your name is always attached to that story. You know, when you're acting or directing, you don't always have to be a part of that production.
Yeah.
But when you write something,
it's
you wrote it. Yeah, exactly.
It's your baby.
So I think so. Is it
yeah,
locked
looks clear.
Off? Okay, great.
How long ago was this experience?
This was last week. Yeah. So
congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm having a lot of like internal conflict right now, but it's been great. Yeah,
that's really great.
Yeah,
Well, this story is going to be broadcast. I mean, I don't usually tell this to my passengers, but like,
yeah.
There's like tens of thousands of people that listen to my podcast.
Oh, man.
So your 15 minutes is continuing.
Oh, well, thank you.
So what's the closest that you have come to that 15 minutes of fame?
I guess, the closest I've come has been my professional life. Being a vice president for, I know TCF Bank is looked down upon here. But
I didn't know that, is it?
Yeah, I think so. But I grew up in Minnesota, and TCF stands for Twin Cities Federal, Minneapolis and St. Paul being the Twin Cities. And they're everywhere. And I rose very high in the company, and that was probably my 15 minutes of fame.
He's 48 years old and recently moved to Chicago from Florida. That day, I had picked him up from an apartment building in Uptown for a ride downtown on Lakeshore Drive.
Do you still work for TCF?
No.
Okay. So what is that like then? I've always wondered what it, because I've always been an employee, never a manager, never a VP, never a CEO or anything like that. And like the bosses are kind of revered. There's, let's be honest, there's ass kissing involved. They're like a rock star in the building.
Oh,
you know?
Of course.
So what is that like? You're a VP of a famous bank in Minnesota, Minneapolis. What's the feeling like?
You know, it's great. You can come and go as you please. You know, you're responsible for the hiring and firing of all the management.
Like ego-wise, like, is it like an ego boost to like walk in the doors every day in that position?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it makes you feel good that you got that high in the company, and that you are respected.
Okay. And do you feel like, you know, I know you're not in that position anymore, but is that something that you miss? Is it something that really like, you know, is an important feeling for you to have? That makes sense.
I definitely miss it. I've been thinking about going back. But nothing set in stone yet.
What would you say was the best part about that job? Was it the prestige of it? Was it the salary? Was it the actual work you were doing? That retail banking? How would you, if it were a pie chart, in terms of satisfaction, how would that pie chart look?
Well, of course, the salary is nice, but you know, having the responsibility to go in and know that you're really making a difference each day. And then the prestige, of course, is nice too.
What would you rank more important, prestige or knowing you're making a difference?
Probably knowing I'm making a difference.
Okay. So knowing you're making a difference is number one. Is prestige ahead of salary, or is salary ahead of prestige?
Prestige is probably ahead of salary.
Wealth and recognition. No surprise that the writers singled those two things out in a question about 15 Minutes of Fame. How could they not? But this week, I'm excited to be able to introduce you to three backseat riders who turned my question on its head. One of them became her own brand of celebrity.
From your own personal 15 Minutes of Fame, what is the biggest lesson that you took away from the experience?
I think the biggest lesson is that you forget that how fragile people are.
While another practically rejects the question.
I got a lot of really popular friends. I'm just like the shadow in the background.
And a third with an important midlife realization.
So I've been having a lot of conversations with women that I know about how you value yourself. And most of us are working parents, and some not parents, but working women. And, you know, you're trying to do so many things and you're wondering, well, how do I judge my own success, or how do I value, you know, what's my definition of value?
Those passengers coming up very shortly. But before you hit fast forward, and I promise this is the last time I'm going to mention this for a while, if you are listening on an iPhone right now, I need a favor. It's only going to take you a few seconds, if you wouldn't mind. And actually, over the last couple weeks, about 200 people have done this. So thank you all so much if you've already done this. And you could do this without even pausing the show. Okay, grab your phone. Go to the podcast app that you're listening on right now. Swipe back to where you could see four icons on the bottom of the screen. See them? One of the icons should say library on it. Please click on that. And once you are in the library, there is a purple link underneath the word library that says shows on it. Just click on shows. You'll see all your shows. Hit my thumbnail. Okay. And at this point, you should see my episodes, a little phrase that says my episodes. Scroll down through all those episodes, wait for it to refresh, keep scrolling, and once you get to the bottom, you will see ratings and reviews. And there's a space right underneath there that says tap to rate. Please give me a rating. You don't need to write anything if you don't want to. Just a 5-star rating would be very much appreciated. It helps the show reach more people. So, also, before we get back to the passengers, if you haven't signed up for Lyft yet, be aware of my promo code, because listeners of this podcast can enter in the code BACKSEATRIDER, all one word, when they sign up for Lyft and get $50 in free ride credit. This information is in the show notes as well for your convenience. And finally, to another sponsor that is helping make it possible for me to bring you this podcast for free, Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Well, here's an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to the list. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it just may be the most rewarding to-do that you do today.
Hey, podcast listener, this is Rob Cisternino. I'm the Rob, and Rob has a podcast, and the new season of Survivor is just getting started, and we've got new episodes for you 5 days a week. Join us for interviews with your favorite past Survivor players and this season's losers right after they get their torch snuffed. Listen free to Rob Has a Podcast, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. And if you like the show, why not share it with a friend or leave us a rating and review on iTunes?
So far in life, what has been your 15 minutes, or the closest thing to?
Oh, wow. Like, fame as in...
Whatever you would define it as.
Okay.
She's 28 and a Chicago resident who is originally from Montana, now working in ad sales. And to set up her story, This passenger's mother is a former model who is now 52 years old.
I'm just going to have to hit real close to home with this one. Okay. Do a little heartfelt story this morning. So my mom, about a year ago, she went under for a hysterectomy. And she had a botched procedure. So the doctor cut her pancreas in three places, the artery connected to her bowel and her liver, sewed her back up and sent her on her way. And my mom and I flew to the East Coast because our granny had just had a double mastectomy. And so during that trip, my mom was filling up with blood, and she went back down to Florida, went into cardiac arrest, went into an induced coma, and I flew from Chicago down to Florida. I quit my job and laid with my mom in the hospital for 14 days while they did surgery after surgery after surgery to save her life.
Incorrect.
Yes.
It had gone wrong.
Yes. And so they had said that she had a 2% chance of surviving. So as we kind of like looked into this is actually, you hear hysterectomy, you're like, this is a common procedure. Women get it all the time. This procedure goes botch often. So I guess my minutes of fame was I just quit my job and didn't know how I was going to pay my rent. Had $0 in savings. Zero, of course. I came back to Chicago and just like completely had to reassess my life. So I think in that moment, it's like you realize what you do for family. I'd never been faced with something like that. But yeah, I'm just like connected to my mom in such a different way now. It's crazy.
To be honest, at this point, I didn't understand why that qualified as an answer to this week's thought starter on 15 Minutes of Fame. But it's such a heartfelt and personal story, kind of had trouble phrasing my follow-up, but still wanted to loop it back to this week's theme.
How did that kind of translate into the, I guess, quote-unquote fame? Did you spread the word about it or something, or did it, was it kind of an personal thing? Or?
Yeah, I think it was more so personal fame. I've always kind of, when people have said, like, if someone would pay you like $2 million to like be a celebrity or anything like that, like fame for me isn't like in the social eye, I guess. Fame for me like is more of what's within and like what you've accomplished for yourself and for your family. So I think at that moment I finally felt like my mom spent her whole life like raising me, and like I had the opportunity and the chance to give back. And like, I mean, in my eyes, my mom is so freaking famous for raising like 3-4 kids who are crazy. We were not easy. So it was like at that point it was kind of like, okay, like I get it's my time to shine, it's my time to give back to my mom. And like, so it was more so like self-proclaimed fame.
I love that answer.
Like social fame.
Right. Fame in the eyes of yourself as opposed to fame in the eyes of the outside world.
Exactly.
Good interpretation of the question.
This all happened within the last 18 months. She says that her mom, because of the coma, lives in what she described as a fog much of the time.
From your own personal 15 minutes of fame, what is the biggest lesson that you took away from the experience?
I think the biggest lesson is that you forget that how fragile people are, because I've always seen my mom as this like superhero, untouchable, unstoppable, like nothing could ever happen to her. And you, in that moment, you realize like how fragile these people are. I think another thing too is growing up, like your parents, they're your caretakers, you know, they provide for you and they're always the ones who are there for you. And in that moment, it was a huge role reverse where even now I am my mom's stability. And when she calls me because she can't remember things and is facing these traumatic, you know, experiences, she is having to like lean on me. And I think it's something that happened way sooner than I had anticipated. I kind of just always thought my mom was going to be okay because she's my mom.
Like a lot of people define fame as success in the eyes of the outside world. You don't seem to define fame mm-hmm. that way. What informs that philosophy?
Yeah. I think it's been, like, a lot of soul searching for myself even prior to this. I would say I used to act for others, and I just kind of one day realized it wasn't really serving me. And I mean act for others as in act for how they wanted me to act. And I think I kind of, as I've gotten older, realized that it's most important to act for yourself.
Acting for yourself, as opposed to validation from others, turned out to be a recurring theme in some people's responses to the initial question.
No, I have not had a 15 minutes of fame, or even a minute, and I can't really say I've come close to it, but I really don't, like, desire that at all.
Uh-huh. This woman is a hair colorist at this really prestigious downtown salon. That was where I was taking her that afternoon. I'd picked her up in the Gold Coast. She's only 21 years old, which is an age group you might assume is obsessed with status. And maybe that's an accurate assumption, but this passenger is an exception.
I don't even have social media.
You don't?
No, I've never had social media.
Ever?
No, I had a Facebook in the 7th grade, and that's as long as it lasted, was the 7th grade Facebook phase. If I became, like, big with my career, my profession and stuff, I would just, like, hire a young, like, savvy assistant to, like, take photos and, like, make a social media page. I wouldn't do it.
She says she is the only one she knows who isn't on social media at all. And while some of it stems from her own natural shyness, for her, it's mostly about not playing a game that she believes is impossible to win.
I don't desire anything about it, but, you know, I'm just like, I want to be in the loop. I'm really out of the loop with a lot of things. Like, I got to hear it from, like, third parties.
There's kind of some freedom in that, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to admit, I'm envious of that level of freedom that she spoke of. For me, there's certain days where I'm on my phone all day, and as soon as I stop to reflect and just kind of take a break, I feel like I am a pawn in that game. Like, you know, as soon as you reach one milestone in life, you've already got your sights set on the next one, which is something that my next passenger can definitely relate to.
I mean, I just look back and think of everything growing up. It was like, well, what GPA did you get in school? Did you make captain of the varsity soccer team? Did your soccer team go to state? What university did you get into? You know, did you have a job coming out of university? Did you pass the CPA exam? You could go on and on, right? There's all of these measures of things. What job do you have? What title do you have? What client did you get put on? What big sale did you make, right?
She couldn't really narrow down a single time that she counts as her 15 minutes. So I asked her to give me one example.
I can't think of one in particular. Maybe when I got my CPA award.
CPA, Certified Public Accountant. That's a very tough achievement. I've got friends in this field. They got to take all kinds of exams. You have to pass them all in this short window of time. So it stands to reason that there would be an award ceremony for it.
I've learned this through many of these random assessments we have to take at work. So I usually feel uncomfortable in those moments when I have to get up on stage and give big presentations or take an award. So it's hard for me to look back and say I felt like that was my 15 minutes of fame, because I probably felt really uncomfortable.
She's 46 and has a 2.5-year-old son. And that morning, I picked her up right after she had gotten some really tough news. So she'd just gotten back from taking her 13-year-old dog to the vet. It was a vet that specializes in cancer, and the prognosis was not good.
You know, I always say she was a rescue, and I always say she rescued me.
She was in the car. She was late for a meeting at work, but I could tell she didn't care.
Even before I had my son, I started to think, well, what is it that I'm getting out of life, and how do I feel valued? And so sure, then I started thinking about how I spend my time, you know, am I helping people in my free time, what's really important, you know, if I'm 10 minutes late to this meeting right now, is that, you know, going to define how I'm perceived at work? Or, you know, I took the time to take my dog somewhere it's really important. And I spent a few minutes with my son explaining, you know, kind of what's going on.
Now, years ago, she says she might not have been so inclined to blow off her prompt arrival time at work. Important meeting, you got to be there on time. But now...
So I've been having a lot of conversations with women that I know about how you value yourself. And most of us are working parents, and some not parents, but working women. And, you know, you're trying to do so many things and you're wondering, well, how do I judge my own success, or how do I value, you know, what's my definition of value? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for so long you have this impression that society creates of what's successful and how you value yourself based on that measure of success.
Money, recognition, how the outside world views
you. Right. That's right. Title, your job, right. Your accomplishments, whatever those things are. And, you know, many of us are getting to points in our lives where, you know, we're asking those questions, you know, what's really important? And do we need to let go of some of those ways that we've always measured ourselves and think more about, you know, what's truly important to each individual and how you might think about your own success in that area?
When do you feel like you made that switch to kind of realigning your values? Was it like as your career unfolded? Was it early? Was it recent?
No, it was definitely in the last, I would say, maybe 7 or 8 years. My son's only 2.5, so it had nothing to do with, I think that's a trigger for a lot of people, children.
Yes.
And so when I'm talking to women who don't have children, I'm mindful that it isn't necessarily about having a child. Sometimes it's about a parent, an aging parent, or an ill parent, or a grandparent, or, and sometimes it's just your own journey.
It for has you, nothing was it to more do. Your own journey? Or
it
was.
It was. I started really heavily practicing yoga and taking more time to reflect inward. And I think that's something that I hadn't done. You know, you're just so busy. You go through your day.
Yeah.
And I don't spend enough time reflecting. And it was only when I dedicated more time to it that I started to really think about how am I living my life and how do I measure success and do I feel successful?
Before I sign off for the week, I just want everyone to zero in on her last question there, because I think it's something that we should all ask ourselves and be honest about the response, regardless of your career. How do you measure success? Is it the work that you're doing? Is it the salary that you're earning? Is it the neighborhood you live in? The prestige of the job, like the bank vice president talked about? Or maybe it's success in a totally different category. Maybe success for you means you're good to the people you care about and they're good to you as well. Maybe it's a combination of all that, and I'm hoping that it is a healthy one. So this week, I've heard some concerns from listeners about whether expanding to television is me selling out and risking the magic of the podcast by putting cameras in the car. So I just want to take a quick moment to reassure you that for me, at least when it comes to Backseat Rider, the most important measure of success is, am I connecting to real people on topics that matter? That will never change for me. And again, the podcast in its current form, it's not going anywhere. And I will take out the cameras on certain days if that's necessary. So if you have reached out to me with those concerns about the future of the show, please do not worry. And with that said, if you are curious about my own quote unquote 15 minutes of fame, the superficial kind, not the good kind, I will be posting the clip that led my brother and me to winning second place on America's Funniest People way back in 1991. I'm going to be posting that clip in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook for your amusement. Quick tease on that one. Our outfits are incredible. And that is where I would love as well to read about your own 15 minutes. So please share. Just search Facebook groups for Backseat Rider Community and request to join. Also, iPhone users, don't forget to leave Backseat Rider review if you can while you got the podcast app open. Again, that'll help me reach more people with this podcast. Also, before I go, one last quick reminder. Lyft is not a sponsor of the show. Doesn't have anything to do with the content. But if you haven't signed up for Lyft yet and want to help me out and also support Backseat Rider, sign up for Lyft using the promo code. It's all one word, Backseat Rider. It's just the name of this podcast. You'll get $50 in free ride credit and also help me out. Backseat Rider is edited by Bob Gilmartin. And also thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of the show. Look for new episodes of Backseat Rider every Wednesday at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app. And if you have an iPhone, make sure you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts. Backseat Rider.